Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned. Made for South Australia.
Good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. Thanks to Pharmacy Sleep Services. Pharmacy Sleep Service, if you're always tired, visit your local pharmacy and test yourself for sleep apnea. Malcolm, Jack, how are you?
I'm really good, David. Thank you. And I'm glad we've got Sam Fantasia, our young producer, back again today. He's off crook yesterday, but he's back.
We had his best golf score and then went sick the next day. I mean, that's how do you do that? He had an 89 for the first time in the 80s and doesn't show up to work.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I came in like
with your,
the hunchback yesterday,
with your
didn't I?
Back, yeah.
Still not, you haven't actually asked me how it is.
Apparently, you got a week back. When did you get it?
Biscuit back.
No. When did you get a week back?
A week back?
Yeah.
They are frustrated. You never had a bad back?
Oh, mate, I've had one for 40 years. Well, I mean, I just...
First 2 years of work with you come in
like... I know.
You.
I just live with it. Yeah. I live with pain.
But lately it's been good.
I must say it has been better, David. And, yeah, it has been slightly...
Good stuff.
Yeah.
What's on the agenda apart from Nathan Van Berlo tonight?
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, listen, I know this is a subject that you really like. There's a guy whom I really like as a player at Hawthorn called James Sicily.
Yes.
He's just signed a 5-year deal. He's 27. He's going to be 32. 27, a 5-year deal. Now, I know that this is not your favourite subject at length of time. Let me know about it.
He's a very good player.
Yeah.
I sort of like yours. You've always said around four, but I'll give you another one which hasn't worked for Adelaide. Well, I asked Nathan Van Berlo tonight actually about Wayne Miller. He's in his third year of a 5-year deal. Let's say he's on 500 or 600, doesn't matter, but he's a fair bit of money. And he's still not on the side. He's languishing in the reserves.
Mm.
I don't know whether he's putting in as much as he could at the moment. You don't lose your talent overnight. And we're in round 10 this week?
Yes, we are.
He's played the first game and hasn't been back since, so he's had 9 weeks.
He was wounded last year.
Yeah, and last 2 years,
yeah.
But
so, I mean, it's
he's
hard
done a pre-season.
Out. Yeah, I know.
They picked him in the first round, Blotty. They picked him in the first round.
Yeah, on hope.
On hope.
Yeah.
Well, 5-year deal once again.
Yeah.
Well, he was a good player, but not a superstar.
He was a nice half-back flanker.
Yeah. Bit of polish.
Yeah.
Bit of class.
Well, he hasn't played there for a while, though, has he?
I don't think is. I mean, you may give a young Rochelle to keep him here a 5-year deal, but do you need five? I don't think it makes you hungry. You get five, you know, you got dinner on the table for the next 5 years. You think four tops.
You had to be something outstanding to get four.
What was your best ever contract?
Of course, four.
Oh.
You said,
but five's probably not what you'd want either.
No.
Is it as
no,
a player?
No, I didn't know.
You know, in this day and age where you can fall out of favour, you can get hurt.
Yeah.
You might want to change clubs. Yeah. I think five becomes...
But what you actually do... Now, this is one of the problems with teams down the bottom. This is where it comes a bit of an issue. And even if you took, you know, Buddy... I mean, the Swans needed someone. So that's a different... Sydney's always been a slightly different...
He's a marketing fact as well as being a champion.
Exactly right. So, I mean, all these long-term ones, they're sort of those players that are pretty good players, but a lot of them are getting hunted by the top teams. So what you're doing now is, and this will be the reverse policy, eventually those top teams will be rubbish.
Exactly. With that range.
Yeah, with that range.
I wouldn't have given Brody Grundy 7 years.
No.
Now he's hurt. He's a good player, but... But seven.
But see, that's the manager going out and flogging themselves around. And that's good. That's his job. It's not the player's fault. I mean, the club then has to agree to it. I doubt, and then everyone whinges. I mean, you think that the Adelaide Crows fans and the Port Adelaide Crows fans, not that they've lost too many, but they start whinging when blokes go. But I'll tell you what happens, and the same happens in Melbourne. So they get jumpy too. I find a weak administration makes very ordinary decisions.
They bend over.
Yeah.
I don't think Adelaide have got many right at all with 5 years. If you look, some of the Josh Jenkins ended in tears.
Well, he played in the grand final.
Yeah, but
I mean, there was a grand final.
He was
there.
Finished 2 years into his five.
Yeah, but
they had to sell his contract. Eddie Betts, wonderful player, but maybe went a year too long. Plays at Carlton, once again, because his name's Eddie, you get a few games. Champion player. But Rory Sloane, a long deal at the back end. You know you're going to be 32, 33 at the end of it.
I know. Sometimes you've got to sit there and think, well, okay, are we going to get a better player than Rory Sloane? And at that time, probably not.
I think Port gave Matt Lobe five.
There you go.
And maybe Hamish Hartlett six, if not five.
Look, every club's done it. And they And you get jumpy because you've got to replace a player. And a good players are hard to find.
But you don't think it make you a little bit less if you if you're given something?
No, I reckon 3 years
you're playing for your fourth.
And maybe you get the fourth and a fifth, but it's you know it's
I don't mind an option if you both agree. There's an option the club can say yes or you can say yes. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But gee, anything over four is I think is ridiculous.
And we've got Dean on the line. Hi Dean, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you, Malcolm? I agree with what you're saying about these things. I mean, Port Adelaide has the thing, once you're over 30, regardless if you're bloke or whatever, you only get a one-year contract. And a lot of players, especially Grundy, with Collingwood, once he got his contract again, he's never been the same again. Before that, he was playing like a man possessed, and he's never played the same way. He's never been as good. I mean, you give him too much money, you give him too long a contract, they get comfortable, and they get not hungry, and they don't do what they need to do because they think they're on a good wicket.
Dean, history says, I don't think it's that comfortable factor. I think what actually happens is you get older. And one of the things I always found interesting, Hawthorn, they had a motto for years and years and years and years. And don't forget, they have been the most successful football club in the last 30, 40 years because of it, I believe. Everyone over 30 signed a one-year contract.
I think Mark Bickley said he did for his last three or
and
four.
Michael Tuck signed 7 one-year contracts to finish. And I think if you've got the honesty within your body, and once again, I mean, I know everyone's got to get paid, da-da-da-da-da, but I think if clubs could come up with that and say, look, a lot of things can go wrong when you're at 30, they're a bit, I mean, they're lasting a bit longer now, David, because of the way they train and play.
You mentioned Hawthorn, and I'll throw Geelong in the last 20, 30 years as well. They must have taken reduced pay because they knew they were playing in great sides. They know they're playing finals every year, possibly winning grand finals, which both clubs did. So they took, you know, when you got Scarlett and Bartell and Ablett and all these, they took way less than what was market value, didn't they, to keep their team together.
So Jeremy Cameron goes there from GWS
for
last
year. For 7 years or whatever.
7 years.
Yeah. I think Danger did too.
I mean, look, everyone's got a different story to tell, but I certainly, as a head of a football club, but you know what? The head of the football club and the board, they change, so it's not their problem in 5 or 7 years' time, is it?
Just another thing, the mid-season draft, heard Rowie and the team talking about that, and I see both sides of it. Like if you're a West Adelaide and they've lost a couple, in fact, we've got Adam Hartlett tomorrow we're going to speak with about the state game. They lost players mid-year. But on the other side, I think the players, the kids, if they nominate themselves, they want to play, don't they? Where do you sit on this mid-year draft?
I didn't hear Stephen. So what was Stephen's? Was he for or against it?
No, against it.
Okay.
But to Rowie's defence, he said, you may as well trade. There's a lot of players on every list that will get a game in other teams, but they're going to languish in the reserves, aren't they? You could pick almost any team where if you trade someone, what's the difference? And that'd be better than a lot of the sample guys that go over.
Oh, not necessarily. It doesn't mean because you're on an AFL list you're going to play AFL footy.
No, but you could have a very good side and the next best 10 aren't going to get a game, are they?
Actually, Stephen's son, James Rowe, is a really good example. Say it was this year and he just played in that state game in Perth, South Australia won, and I know he's had a good season. And someone came up and say, Collingwood came up and said, James, we're really keen on you coming. Could you stop him? And that's what
I say. Well, the player must obviously have to agree.
Yeah, of course he does.
Nominate themselves.
But you...
No,
I can't stop someone wanting to get themselves to be in a better position, to be a better team and a better player.
Johnny Noble for Collingwood.
Yeah, he's, there you go.
Yeah,
it hurts.
I understand both sides, but you're saying no.
No, because you know why? Once you put the state leagues, Waffle, VFL or Sandful, they are development competitions. Once you understand that, that's where it sits. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad we've got it. We've got kids playing at under 17, under 19, under 18 level. Kids playing under 16 through that system. It is a terrific system, but it is now a development league. So, yes, it is sad for the teams, but reckon your role at that club now is to actually produce as many players as you can. Sure, you want to win a premiership. Sure, you want to get better. But just remember where you sit.
Well, then the AFL should compensate that club more than 5 or 10 grand. I'm not even sure what it is. But it should.
No, I
think if you're taking a player
I agree with
that. It should be 50 grand. I mean, this is they are a multi-million dollar corporation. Yes. So you're pinching.
Yes,
I could. You would be happy with that if
compensation, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So
compensation.
Well, I'll be happy with that too.
Okay.
Because I think the clubs are doing it hard, blood. It's, you know, they can't get new footies. They can't do this. They can't do that. So
yeah.
I do see both sides. But if the club gets compensated and the player wants to go over there, fine. Tick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tick, tick.
You can, please don't ever stop destroying someone's dream when it's possible. Anyhow, Damien Martin. Interesting words that the coach, Damien Hardwick, said about him. He would
Dustin Martin.
Dustin Martin, am I going?
You're talking about the cricketer
yeah.
Batted number five for Australia, Philip.
Yeah. Yeah, Dusty, you know, there's a lot of talk with all the things that are going on in Melbourne and in and around him that he maybe a trip to the Swans and play for the Swans. He's 30 years of age now.
How would he go, though? He loves his mates at the club.
You would thought so.
I reckon I'm not so certain. It wasn't Brendan Gale and wasn't Damien Hardwick, but I think it was the lady runs Richmond. Is it Peggy?
Yeah, Peggy.
Right. She
President.
Said
yep.
She'd be very, very surprised if Damien doesn't finish his career with Richmond. Let's hear this.
I think what I will say is he's a very important player to our footy club, both on the field and off the field. And what he gives us, he's paid us in spades. Whatever Dustin's decision is moving forward is up to Dustin. And to be honest, he has my blessing. Like, what he's given me, us, our fans, has been incredible. And whatever we get from here on in is a real bonus from my point of view. So I just luckily, like the rest of us, I get to see him on a weekly basis perform and train the way he does. So
I'm not so sure he'll go.
No, never mind.
I mean, Harvick's going to say that. Like, he's been great. He's been arguably the greatest ever player. But he loves his mates, Blotty, and he needs those guys. You go to another club, don't know anyone.
No.
Doesn't know how it works, doesn't know the fans, doesn't... Hey, just before we go to break, and I know you want to do something, we might even leave that for tomorrow because that's a good topic. I heard Wayne Grady talking about his good old friend, the Shark, Greg Norman. They were inseparable years and years ago.
Queenslanders, yep.
He said had a massive crack at the Shark just over the Saudi tour where he said he's trying to wreck the PGA, trying to wreck what's been established for well over 100 years in golf. And he basically said GFY at the end of his post, and you can work what go something yourself. And he said the only person that Greg Norman was interested is Greg Norman. I missed out the middle one.
Yeah.
Go something yourself.
Okay.
This is from a mate with our close. Oh, yeah, Grady was scathing.
Yeah, I played with Wayne.
Should try and get him on, actually. Yeah, I know. You know Wayne Grady, and they were good mates. Grady won a major as well.
Of course he did. PGA.
But he was ropeable, Greg Norman. Absolutely ropeable. And I reckon the world's turning against Greg Norman because I think Greg Norman, that's all he does think about itself, is Greg Norman.
Yeah, well, it's a subject that just seems to not go away, and I'm not sure yet who's involved in it. I mean, we've heard some names. Well, you haven't heard there's some tournament dates, I think,
But it's mainly Norman and the Saudis trying to...
Yeah, it's all a bit rubbery.
Yeah, I see flowery. McElroy, a few of the top ones have said, you know, get stuff, we're not going. Hey, play Keno for only $1 a game, a draw every few minutes. Always time for a spot of Keno. Play today. Gamble responsibly and call in or text with your own true or false. That's coming up next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned. Made for South Australia.
Sports Day SA for Weeks. Discover exceptional customer service. What a great company they are. Weeks Homes. And also, you just heard then, the Kia EV6. Unanimously judged. It's hard to say that. Unanimously judge Will's Car of the Year. It is leading the charge. Bloody, you can lead the charge.
Do you want a diction lesson on unanimously?
Do you say that, Will?
Yes, I do.
I'll get Blakey into that.
Yeah, thank you.
Hungry Jacks, the burgers are better at Hungry Jacks. Play Uno at Hungry Jacks. 1 in 4 wins instantly. And if you can send a true or false in, which you think we can have a crack at, 5 Whopper vouchers. Okay, you start
off. Here we go. My first true or false is Richmond's Tom Lynch, whom I did spend a lot of time with at the Gold Coast. Good fellow, Tommy.
Yeah.
He leads the Coleman Medal with 31 goals, 4 in front at the moment. I think he will win the Coleman Medal this year.
Yeah, true. I like that.
Oh, I think
you ever won a Coleman?
I have, actually. Yeah, okay. Thank you for bringing that up.
There you go. So I'll back you there.
Yeah.
Dustin Martin will finish his career at Richmond.
I think you're true.
Yeah, I'm
I
with
also
you.
Think
I'm
you're
with
true. You. Now, yeah. David, I've got my second one. Lachie Neale will win the Brownlow this year.
Oh, he's got some competition. He's got Cripps, he's got Petrarch, he's got Oliver. But you want a yes or no, do you?
A true or false, we call it.
I'll say false.
False.
He might be injured. Things can happen.
Okay.
Ask me round 22.
No. Ask me what you asked me after the first one.
Did you win a McGarry medal?
No. This, I said Brownlow.
A Brownlow. Well, you won both.
Yeah, but you've got to... Oh, gee, you've lost
it.
Yeah, you've lost
it. More about my next one.
Okay, go.
True or false, Port Adelaide will play finals this year.
I think they do. I went through the draw last night, David, there it is. There's a piece of paper, and I said what they have to do. They play Geelong.
What if they lose this week?
This is the key game. That's what I said. Don't you remember what I said last night?
I do. I'm just
I went through the Port Adelaide thing.
I'm seeing
and I
if
said,
you remember.
I do, because I've kept the piece of paper where I worked it all out, and I think that they can play finals. This is a linchpin game.
And Geelong are not a star side at the moment, are they? They've got a
no. There's a few down at the minute. Okay. But my third, true or false, is it up to me? I've really lost track here.
Yeah.
You sure it's me?
Oh, well, I think so.
Okay. Melbourne will win back-to-back premierships this year.
Oh, it's hard not to say true.
Okay.
So you're three from three.
Yeah, but ask me.
You ever win a premiership? Is that what you want to say?
No. Well,
you ever won back-to-back?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I said it. See. You're leading me in. It's like leading a horse or camel to water in a camel's drink a month worth.
After you asked the first one, I hadn't even thought of that, David, when I asked you that first one. And then you said something about how I won a Coleman medal.
Did you know a camel can drink once a month? Not drink again, just fill up the...
Yeah, I know. I did know that. Why?
I don't know.
Do you know the high school team I played for, Findon High, when I went to school? Well, it's a long time ago. But you know what we were called? We won the only premiership Findon High ever won in the school's football association.
So you would have been called a one-hit wonder?
No, we were called the Camels.
The Camels?
That was our
Brown and Gold.
Yeah.
Brown and...
yeah, all those Findon High boys out there played in that. We were called the Camels. We were one of the first ones to have, I call it, an insignia for the team. Mm,
do you ever smoke camel?
Might have. No, they had no tip on it, no cork tip, remember? They were just plain... I never smoked.
Okay. Lumo say powering local footy and fans in South Australia. Switch to Lumo today. One quick one for you. Got to be very quick. Matt Crouch, when he comes back in the Adelaide side, true or false, he will come back as a tagger.
I did suggest that a while ago, so I'll say true, but it won't happen because not a lot of moves happened there, did they?
No, they could have made a couple of moves. Nathan Van Bello coming up shortly too, so... We'll ask him a few of those hard-hitting questions. And they need a win. I reckon lose this week, not that they're probably fancy to make the finals. That is good night, Dick, Malcolm.
It is indeed. It is good night, Dick. And it's good night from you too, David.
Nearly. We're going to take a break. On the other side, assistant coach of the day grows, Nathan Van Burler will join us.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels car of the year. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Malcolm Blight and David Rorty, Sports Day SA for Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. They've got shiploads of vehicles arriving every month. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. Time now to talk Crows. First 5 or 6 weeks were really good.
Yeah, well,
last two and a half haven't been all that good, but I thought the first half certainly a lot better against Brisbane. We were joined by assistant coach Nathan Van Burler. Nathan, thanks for your time. The first half was a lot better considering the two previous weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair assessment in our last 3 weeks in particular. But, up until half-time, we managed to, midway through that first quarter, got the game on our terms and for the whole second quarter, really. And probably Jordan Dawson was a big part of that in the way that we played the game. And then after half-time, largely due to the elevation in contest work from Brisbane, they took it to next level and we unfortunately didn't go with them. And then in the last quarter, felt like we bought our game and we played, I think it was about 60-odd% time in forward half, which is how we want to play, and weren't able to capitalise on our our dominance in our front half. So when you don't do that, a team like Brisbane were efficient and made us pay.
Yeah, I mean, you're a couple of goals up, maybe even more then. Looked like you had it on your terms. Does it just drop off like that? You come out after half time. Could you see it straight away? Oh, we're in a bit of strife here?
Oh, well, the difficult thing was I think it was about 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter and we were 15 points up and we conceded two late goals, which put them back within 3 points, and then straight after half time they scored to the very first centre bounce, and I think pretty soon thereafter. So in the space of 3 or 4 minutes, there's 4 goals kicked, and momentum shifts very quickly. And I mean, at half time the boys are really engaged, really pleased with our first half. And unfortunately, as I said, Brisbane elevated in that third quarter, and we didn't. So we got the the result of 3/4 time that was reflective of how that panned out.
Yeah, I was interested in your comment then about Dawson playing really well early. I thought he got some cheapies, but also some goodies. And then they put Berry on him. It was quite noticeable at half time. So how did you approach that? How did the coaching box approach that? Who was a bit of a driver, had a lot of footy, and he's a good kick, we know that. What did you actually do about it?
Yeah, so in the second half, when Brisbane obviously wanted to nullify Jordan, so they put Berry to him, and we kept him down back for a period of time, and then moved him up and around the stoppages, more so on the wing. And we soon worked out that Berry was going to go everywhere with him, and then we played him from half forward and sort of let him just play wherever he wanted and try and, dictate his positioning and manipulate what they were doing with their hard one-on-one tag, which is pretty unique these days to go that aggressively all over the ground. So we tried to manipulate it from a stoppage point of view and play him from forward. But, ultimately, I mean, his impact in the second half was definitely nullified, and he did have an impact in the first half for sure.
Nathan, how do you look at a guy like Luke Brown? He's been such a consistent player. You stand a guy like Charlie Cameron, blistering pace, didn't have a lot of the ball, but when he got it, he kicked a goal, and often it was one out. They did it pretty well, got it out to Charlie with his pace. But, I mean, that's a tough position for a backman, isn't it, when you've got someone so quick and it's coming down like that.
Yeah, and I think Brownie would have played on Charlie a fair few times at training over the years too, early days when he was with us. So they've had their battles, and I guess with guys like Charlie, and I mean, you don't have to dig too deep into their forward line with the depth of small talent that they've got. And it's not relying on just Brownie to get it done. I mean, there's going to be times, and there was times where it was just one-on-one, and we're backing in guys like Brownie to get the job done, but there were probably a number of times where midfielders, wingers could have assisted better than what we did, because you leave a quality player like Charlie one out with any defender. Once that ball hits the ground, I'd be imagining it's pretty nerve-wracking for him.
Just going back to the Dawson bit, I mean, I'm really intrigued with this. I mean, the machinations of a coaching box. But did you talk about just playing him full forward, one out, get everyone else out the paddock and just have a look at that? Did you try and play one extra? Did you actually try and move someone else?
Yeah, just part of... we spoke about playing him some deeper forward, and Berry, would go with him and we'd back him in one-on-one, but part of our issue was we still wanted to generate some supply and get inside our forward 50, and sometimes Blighty moving the big hooers like Tex and that out of the forward 50 doesn't always work. They want to stay put, so... But we did speak about playing him deep, and the decision was to bring him up around the footy and try and get creative by blocking and getting some momentum out of stoppage for us.
You know, you can move someone to the interchange bench without a rotation, you know, and just let them sit there if they don't want to play the game.
Oh, I'm just joking. They were fine. The boys would move if we told them to move.
I thought a couple of the old heads played well, but really pleasing for Jackson Hatley. I thought it outstanding game against the quality midfield. He finally perhaps felt he belonged there. Sam Berry, Nathan, every time we speak with you, we seem to be getting better and better. And perhaps to a lesser extent, I thought McAdam and Rowe also played, you know, very, very well. So there's some highlights there, weren't there?
Yeah, there were some signs there, Dave, especially from those guys that you mentioned. Look, Sam Berry has put forward some really strong performances at SANFL level, and we've been really looking to try and see him take his game that sort of next level for us this year. And for a guy, he played, I think, 18 games last year in his first year, which is really impressive. And he has taken his game to that next level, and there's probably another step for him to go still. He's got that power and speed around the contest, so good to see him put that to use. Another young one with Jake Saliga that came in on the weekend too. Yeah. I think he showed at different stages. He's more and more comfortable at the level now after playing the first two rounds and seeing him come in 7 rounds later. It wasn't chalk and cheese, but he was considerably more comfortable at the level and the speed. So look, the more and more we can get exposure to some of these young guys and exposure at the level, they get more and more comfortable, and then you soon find out whether they're they're good enough for AFL footy and good enough in our system. And it was great, as you said, for guys like Jacko Hatley, who's been toiling away at the SANFL this year after groin interruptions last year, to play probably his best game for the club.
Nathan, do all the assistant coaches analyse their tape. They go through their systems, what they're looking for, do their coding, all that sort of stuff, and then present it to the senior coach. Is that the system? And then you decide from there what you're going to show the players?
Yeah, in terms of review, yes. We will, yeah, in terms of each of our respective line areas, we will code for individual players in that line, and also, for example, I largely look after midfield and stoppages, so that area of the game, whereas Scotty Burns is a bit more defence and the back six. So we code for our respective areas. We come in on a Monday and we will, I guess, share each of our respective areas and then comment across lines if we need to, and then help Nixie. Obviously, he's coded the game as well and has his opinions, and we collate all that data and information together to say what were the key messages and what do the players need to see. So some weeks it's a lot more and some weeks it's a lot less, depending on what the key themes are out of the game. So, yeah, and a lot of it, I guess, goes into how we best educate the players, whether it be sometimes might be three separate rooms and we rotate round for different environments, or it might just be all in one and a more of a tell session. So we do change it up, but we do get together early in the week and make sure we're all aligned and got similar clips to show.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously an education process, but, I mean, what's your short... Just purely... I haven't asked this question for a while. What's your shortest one you've done in a review? And I know a win's probably a bit easier, but what's your longest one? Have you really gone through it through the fine-tooth comb? Is it 15 minutes compared to an hour? Something like that?
Yeah, it would be. It would be 15 minutes for probably the shortest, sharpest. And sometimes now we even upload some stuff if we want online, and the boys can watch it from home, watch it from the locker room, just to change up their stimulus a bit. But the longest would be an hour, I would say, which is a bit shorter than back in the day. I reckon Neil Craig used to keep us in for a good hour and a half sometimes. So, and there was blood on the wall sometimes. But we do change it up. And an hour, I don't think we'd ever go any longer than that because attention spans and whatnot, you need to be mindful of that.
Yeah, can I just on that then, have you ever done a survey of the players in an honesty session, one-on-one? What do you think of our meetings? How do you like them? Are they too long? Because I've never heard a player say they're too short.
No, yes, they don't. And what we actually get these days, Malcolm, is the players come in, they've all got their own notepads. So they actually... I mean, you sit there, I remember some of our meetings early days when I first started playing, they'd go for, as I said, an hour and a half, and no one had phones or no one took notes, and you'd expect it to retain all this information, which I guess in a way you learn to do, and it's what game day is all about, but our players now, they're often scribbling down key points, and so at the end of each meeting, we'll sit there and say, what are your key takeaways? And they'll often come up with three or four really consistent themes, and a few different individuals might have specific areas to their role. So it's... it is different how we do it these days, but mainly we try and get a consistent message and theme for the week across.
Our guest is Nathan Van Berlo for Tyrepath Think Safety This May. Nathan, Wayne Miller, I know from the outside everyone's expecting him to come in, and it must be disappointing. He's a better player than the Sandford player, and we know he's had injuries and he's in his third year of a five-year deal, but is he not doing the right things? I know Blighty saw him a couple of weeks ago. He thought he wasn't getting enough of the ball, but like he's a classy player. And have you been disappointed with his comeback, or should he be doing more? Can you just give us a bit of a review on Wayne Miller?
Yeah, look, we're working really hard with Wayne at the moment to get him in the best role for us at AFL level. And in terms of, we need the ball, as you said, we need the ball in his hands as much as we can. And part of that is through him orchestrating that, and also it might be positional for us as well. So we actually had a fairly lengthy discussion in the match committee today and last week around how we can get him back into the mix sooner rather than later, because as you said, he just complements our team so well with ball in hand, and that's probably one of the areas we have been lacking at AFL level, is just that polish and ability to finish off play. Yeah. So hopefully sooner rather than later with Junior, because we know when we do get the ball in his hands, he makes us a better team.
Yeah, and some players actually play better in the higher grade too. The other two, Phil Thorpe, obviously a high draft pick. He's had his problems too, but he's obviously a talent. And Matt Crouch, more of a senior player that went back and got plenty of the ball. Where do you see them?
Yeah, look, they're both... Matt went back for the one game, and obviously the SNFL had a bye on the weekend, which meant that he couldn't back up the performance, the strong performance he had the week prior. So... look, Matt's clear on what aspects of his game he's going to continue to work on, and he's going to keep pushing up really strong performances. So whether that be inclusion this week or in weeks to come, Matt's really clear on what he needs to do. And with Riley, he the last couple of weeks. I mean, he missed with the health and safety protocols, and has had a, I guess, over that period of time, we weren't able to get eyes on him as a, this is a conditioning department, coaching department. So, and obviously with no game on the weekend, he's been a bit interrupted. So hopefully, I know he's feeling really good and fresh, which is always good for a guy his size and his age to feel fresh and coming up. So perhaps it could be this weekend or coming weeks where we look to get him back up in the senior side, because he does, he's got the talent. He just adds something different to our forward line, also around the ball as a ruckman. So we're certainly looking forward to seeing him play the footy again.
Just talking about ruckman, Kieran Spawn. I thought he was okay. He actually was competitive, wasn't he? Riley O'Brien looked really tired, didn't he? Just looked like a young player needed to rest. But I thought Strawn tried very, very hard. You know, he just grunted his way around the ground, which I thought was okay.
Yeah, look, Kieran's been, Strawny's been amazing at SNFL level. And even last year, you go back and look at his strong form at SNFL level. And at times, he's been banging down the door, and Riley O'Brien's been playing his role strongly at AFL level. So it's been just keep buttering up, mate, keep bringing it. And look, as a match committee, we obviously saw an opportunity for Strawny to come in on the weekend with Rob not being at his best. And he came in and he showed some of his wares at SNFL level and showed his ability to compete. And against, you know, big Oscar McInerney, he's a big fella, and against Darcy Fort, two genuine ruckman, he managed to hold his own at times and learn a lot. So, look, huge for his development. And, it's great to see that, I guess, competition for spots from SNFL level, because our boys have been going so strongly, putting pressure on guys up above.
Big game this week, St Kilda, Saturday night. Good luck, Nathan.
Thanks very much, guys. Cheers.
Nathan Van Bello, Adelaide assistant for Tyre Power. Get the 5-minute tyre safety check at your local Tyre Power. Yeah, this is a big game. You have to win.
Yeah.
If you're hoping to even think finals, which probably maybe out of range at the moment, but you have to win this one.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I'm interested in what Nathan said there about the, you know, as the senior coach then makes a decision, what do you actually show someone? How much can they take in and where can they take it to? So,
are you saying you would have thrown Dawson a full forward?
Yeah.
Just break the tag or...
Or put him on Lachie Neal. Make two to run around with him. Do you know what I mean? Put him full forward, one out, get everyone out, make it noticeable, and or...
Should he be good enough to break that tag?
But when you first get tagged, David, it is difficult. You've got to work your way through it, and you need some help. And quite frankly, I would have thought Nathan was one of the guys that could have helped him, because he used to do it a lot, didn't he?
He did it well.
But actually, I would have gone full forward or put him on Lachie Neal in the midfield. Mm. And then you've got to throw it back to the other coach. He's got to make a decision then. Does he keep running two around on one?
I like your idea. Bring Crouch back and he can play a run with roll. I reckon he'd do that well. How'd you like to win $5,000 cash? For your chance to win, just head to icanwin.com.au. Enter your details. All thanks to My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned. Made for South Australia.
Sports Day SA for Weeks Homes. Discover different. Discover exceptional customer service. We welcome young Samuel Fantasia. Does anyone ever call you Fantasia? Where did this Fantasia come from?
It's the more Italian pronunciation. Oh. So
changes every week. Yeah, Fantasia's better, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Fantasia's more Anglo, which I obviously am.
At school, were you Fantasia?
Yeah, Fantasia.
Always been Fantasia.
Always been Fantasia. I'm sure some of my ancestors would have been Fantasia.
Enough about you. It's about Blighty. You know that.
I know that. Yeah. Well,
hello, Sam. Welcome into the studio.
Hello, Malcolm. It's good to be back. Yeah, sorry I missed yesterday. Sorry to the listeners that I missed yesterday with the quiz as well.
Of course.
Speaking of, get on the road faster, 13:27:27. We've moved this from the start of the show to the back of the show because we've got a bit more time to let this breathe. So it's a Who Am I? Winner gets a double pass to the movies, a Signet portable phone charger, and they go on the running to win 4 MTX club tickets with a $200 voucher for food and beverages at Adelaide Oval.
Now, the truth is, Sam,
yes,
you were off sick little puppy yesterday.
Sick, I had the man cold.
Yeah, man cold.
COVID negative.
And so, can I also say,
yes,
we've got two clues tonight.
We've got two clues.
And these are so, so imposing.
These are riveting. In fact, we've got a bonus clue. We've got three clues.
Okay, go on. Off you go.
So, clue number one. I was an exciting North Adelaide player.
Oh, I knew North Adelaide are cropper.
Could be me.
I've got who didn't get kicked, six goals kicked on them in their last game.
I'm out.
By who?
By me.
Yeah. D. Wildy's out.
Yeah.
And clue number two, we like our premiership players, so I played in a premiership side.
Yes. There's a few there in the 80s.
There's a few there in 90s. The 80s. We're not saying it's in the 80s, but it might be.
They won 91 as well, so it could be one of those.
Yeah.
And they won 3 years ago too.
Mm-hmm. They did. Controversially.
Yes, they did. Not their fault, though.
No, not their fault. Not their fault.
Man in the prelim.
Yeah.
Moving House use the team that's easy and affordable. Budget car and truck rental, 13/27/27. Now, I was at a wedding reception on Saturday night. Congratulations to John and Emma Solari.
Oh, excellent.
But I missed the Crows game, so I just wanted to run a few names by you and see how they went.
Okay, off you go.
Kieran Strawn.
I thought he was good. I thought he competed really well. He looked fresher than Riley O'Brien. Now, we know Riley O'Brien's carried the rucks for, you know, best and fairest year and all that sort of
he's
stuff.
He's a big guy, Strawn,
isn't he? Yeah, he's a big fella, isn't he? So
he's all right. Yeah, first up.
Was he best on ground? No.
Did he
run his guts in? Yes.
How was Nick Murray on big Eric Hipwood?
It was interesting, actually. I thought Hipwood coming back did four or five tap-ons, knock-ons, didn't kick a lot of goals, but I thought Murray was okay too. It was an interesting little contest. What I'd love to know is how many times they actually went to the ball, you know, because there was Charlie and there was others, and I mean, it was all sort of.
I thought Hipwood did a pretty good job though.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't the amount of touches he had.
Yeah.
Which, as I'm talking,
he doesn't get outmarked, does he?
No, he had 11 touches and he had seven in the third quarter. But it was the smartness of the touches.
McHenry and Smith in their returns from injury.
McHenry was okay. Buzzed around.
Yeah.
Didn't think Brody had a huge game, did he, Blighty?
No, he didn't. Hang on, just here. I've got it here.
Oh, you come back from concussion there.
Yeah, had 18 touches. He had eight in the third quarter, but a bit quieter for the other times. But that's pretty normal.
And he kicks in a bit too.
Yeah.
Elliot Himmelberg, we just heard Nathan Van Berlo saying that Thilthorpe might be a chance at coming in, which... it doesn't bode well.
We have more possessions than I thought. I didn't really notice him much.
He had 15 possessions because he actually did a bit of stuff in the ruck work. Got a kick, a few kicks around the ground, I think. But, you know what? Technically, his hands aren't quite right for marking. I've had a look now. I think it's his right arm just collapses ever so slightly. So that's why he gets a
little lesson there.
Jackson Hatley, he's sort of been playing a bit more inside. Tick.
Big tick.
Yeah,
he was good.
He was okay. Yeah.
He's in their top three.
Yeah, probably was,
So he keeps Crouch out of the side?
Yeah.
Well, there's others there that you could move the pieces around, couldn't you?
Would you move Rory Laird back to the back line and just open up an extra midfield spot for some of the young boys?
Well, Laird's playing so well.
Once again, I thought Rory was good, but he wasn't great.
Well, he's never going to be a guy that rips a game apart, but he's still got 32, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's that quick kick. He's got a beautiful quick kick, but he doesn't have to do it all the time. I'd love to see him get a bit more composure.
What about the Crows? Talking about the Crows, which we are, injury list. They've got Seisman concussion ongoing, Sloan out for the year, and Murphy test this week. They've only got basically two players off their list. Yeah. Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
A lot of luck there.
So. Last one. Do you think Rochelli could do for just a little rest, a week off?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was off his oats.
Okay.
And I thought he dropped that mark. Was it the mark? He just dropped and straight
and he missed
his hand.
Three gettables.
Yeah.
Like, he could easily kick four, though.
So nearly, almost.
Normally, dick, but... Yeah, so there you go. Did that help you?
That tremendously. Thank you very much, guys.
Where was the wedding, by the way?
They had it at the Healthy Living Precinct. So it was they did it. It was actually a really good idea because of COVID. They could only have limited numbers at the wedding in January.
Yeah.
Where they just had it at a church in Norwood, and then they did the reception on Saturday night at the Healthy Living Precinct in Hindmarsh Welland, sort of. Might even be Hindmarsh Avenue, Welland, which is a bit confusing. But, lovely. It was really, really good.
Very good. Lovely.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks.
Well, you got lost nearly in the western suburbs, that means. Heading down that way, down to Welland.
Yeah.
Heading towards western suburbs.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a tickle in my throat and that sort of stuff, so I drove. I was very responsible. One beer home before midnight.
So you needed your passport to get into the area from, side of town.
Yeah,
good on you.
Interrogation. Thanks, Sam. Brisbane, too, surprisingly, three injuries, two of their big blokes, McStay and Danaher. But this is where it gets tough. Carlton, in fourth position, they've got a dozen out.
Yep.
Dozen out. Collingwood have got a dozen out. Essendon, They've got a dozen out, Blighty. Three have got five or six.
Geez, aren't they getting whacked Essendon everywhere? But well, and they've got heaps out.
Oh. Gold Coast have got four or five. We should look at this actually tomorrow. Hawthorn have got...
Well, you're doing it now.
Eight or nine out. No, but, I mean, the impact it makes. This is called padding.
Yeah, you know what it is? David, everyone says, oh, everyone's got injuries. Well, everyone's got injuries, but it depends on who they're to.
But North Melbourne can't afford a dozen injuries. They need all hands on deck, don't they?
Yeah, of course they do,
You say the basket case in Port Adelaide got four or five. That's it for us. But from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks, for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion. Blood, have a great night, and I'll see you tomorrow between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for South Australia.